Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Vines Uniting Church. This morning is a little bit different. Through January, we always plan to pare down the service a little bit to give those who create the service a bit of a break. Now, COVID has sent this into another universe. Last week, we didn't have a church. This week, we have a church, but we don't have a congregation. And there is still only one singer. So we hope that you will be able to immerse yourself in this service, find your way with God, and be blessed by what this small group of people put on this morning. I will also ask you that during the week there is going to be two meetings, one by the church leadership team and one by the worship leading team. I ask you to pray for them. Please keep them in your prayers as they make decisions about how to manage this COVID era, how to balance the safety, the physical safety of our congregation against the spiritual and emotional needs and mental welfare. So please pray for them this week. Meanwhile, I hope you have had a reasonable week. Let us worship the Lord our God. Let us declare what it is that we believe. How amazing is the love of the Lord. Sing with gusto.
mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto
Psalm 90. The heavens tell about the glory of God.
The skies show that his hands created them.
Day after day, they speak about it.
Night after night, they make it known.
The love of the Lord is perfect.
It gives us new strength.
The love of the Lord can be trusted.
They make childish people wise.
The rules of the Lord are right.
They give joy to our hearts.
The commands of the Lord shine brightly.
They give light to our minds.
The law that brings respect for the Lord is pure.
It lasts forever.
The commands of the Lord are true.
All of them are completely right.
Your servant is warned by them.
When people obey them, they are greatly rewarded.
Lord God, we know we are not perfect people. And we know that you have made clear to us the law that you have put before us in your word and in our hearts. Lord, we confess that this week and regularly, we do let you down. Lord, we confess those times where we have spoken quickly without thought, without heart. We confess those times that we have ignored you, ignored your promptings, where we have fallen into bad habits. Lord, we ask you to make us stronger and better. Let's conclude the psalm together. But who can know their own mistakes? Forgive my hidden faults. Also keep me from the sins I want to commit. May they not be my master. Then I will be without blame. I will not be guilty of any great sin against your law. Lord, may these words of my mouth please you. And may the thoughts of my heart also please you. You are my rock and my redeemer.
The first reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 19. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us prepare for the prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our freedom to worship during these difficult times, even though we must do it differently. We are thankful for the technology of live stream and recorded CDs, and come to you, Lord, with our prayers for others. We give thanks for our many blessings, for your constant care over us all, and the assurance we have from your word that if we rely on you, depend on you, not on our own understanding, we can trust your help and guidance in all things. We pray for our world, your world, Lord, We hear and see the news and we feel despair. We pray for all world leaders to be led by your will, not power and greed. We pray for harmony and peace in all places and circumstances. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country and the states, for wisdom and discernment, for the very hard decisions they must make, not just regarding the pandemic, but all decisions they make on our behalf. We give thanks and hold up all healthcare workers worldwide working long, tiring hours. Protect them, Father. Give them rest as needed, and may their aim of beating this awful virus be realised. Help us all to play our part, keeping ourselves and others safe. Lord, please watch over the ministries of our church here at the Vines. Help us, motivate us, to reach out with your love to our community, to those who are sick and frail. Bring healing and reassurance. Those grieving recent loss of loved ones, and those for whom the loss is still raw even after time. Bless them, Lord, with your comfort and peace. Help us to be a channel of your peace to those facing terminal illness. Help us to make time for others, for those with disabilities who feel too different to fit in, for folk in our nursing homes needing company, a chat, loving care. May we never be too busy. We pray for the unemployed, the homeless, and those who struggle with broken relationships and unimaginable consequences as a result. We pray your protection over children in all of these situations. Lord, there are so many needs that concern us. At times we feel overwhelmed. Remind us always of your steadfast love and grace. We bring these prayers for others to you today, Lord, confident that you hear them all, including those spoken in our hearts silently. Hear our prayers, Lord. We bring them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Rosalie. Well, one of my favourite heroes of the Bible is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not the Roman Catholic version of Mary, where she's divine and perfect and worshipped and prayed to. No, the Mary I speak of is the human Mary, the one who faced crises just like us, the one who had to make decisions just like us, who wrestled with what was going on around her, just like us. I'm sure God had a hand in Mary's ancestry. I'm sure he was planning that from long ago. In her genetics even. And the gifting that he gave her and the childhood that he exposed her to. I'm sure he had a hand in all of that in preparation for her particular role in the kingdom of God. But that is the same with all of us too. We too are knitted together in the womb. We too are given specific gifts to prepare us for the particular role or roles that God is going to give us. And Mary had to choose whether to participate, just like us, and more importantly, how much to cooperate and participate, because this was not one decision she made. This would have been something that went on for the entire part of her life. Luke and Matthew, the gospel writers, are the only ones who touch on the birth of Jesus. Luke, in particular, focuses on Mary and gives us a lot of the wonderful stories of Mary. It is thought he was not a Jew. He was a contemporary of Jesus, but he never met Jesus. And it is widely believed that he went and visited Mary after the death and resurrection and spoke to her and got all these stories from her which is just wonderful, and that's why they're so clear and so personal. So we have the visit of the angel to Mary, we have the birth in the stable, the shepherds visiting, the angels, them telling about the angels and the glory. We have him, we have the visit to the temples later in his life, and the speaking with Anna, and those marvellous words that Pam wrote to us from Simeon. All these are within Luke. But my favourite story is his visit to Elizabeth. Now, Mary was maybe 14, 15-year-old girl, and I don't care what society we're in. When you're 14 or 15, the hormones are going crazy. You haven't got a lot of life experience, and everything is unfolding. She was visited by an angel who told her she was going to be a major part in the greatest plan God has ever done in the history of the world. No small thing. This is a huge, huge announcement. Who was going to believe her? In the cold light of day, what are her parents going to say? What's Joseph going to say? Well, Matthew told us about that. What about the neighbours? This is a strictly religious family. An unmarried mother in the family could make the whole family shunned. And again, what if nobody believed her? Well, maybe she did misinterpret it. Maybe, I mean, in the cold light of day, no one else that she knows has ever been visited by an angel. Maybe she imagined it. Maybe she got it wrong. Maybe she's going mad. All this stuff would have been going around in her head. I've been there when at crisis times or change in life, and the stuff just bounces around and it doesn't go clear. So what happens? She goes and visits Elizabeth. Mary goes off to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is her cousin, but she is much older. We are told that Elizabeth was probably not of real childbearing age, and yet she was carrying her first child, who will go on to be John the Baptist. So she would have been about 50. Again, a lot older than Mary. And she lived a long way away. So what prompted Mary to go visit Elizabeth? Maybe her mum suggested it. Maybe there's a relationship there where we're not sure, we don't know about. Or maybe something deep inside her said, go visit Elizabeth. And she understood that to be the Spirit of God. And she obediently went. But on that journey, which would have taken several days, again, she would be going, will Elizabeth believe me? Will she understand? This story is so extraordinary. What am I going to do? How am I going to explain this to her? And yet when Mary walked into Elizabeth's room, Elizabeth jumped up and said, oh, how blessed are you to be carrying the Saviour of the world. How blessed am I to be visited by the mother of the Saviour of the world. My baby jumped when you walked in the door. Can you imagine the relief of Mary? She did not have to explain a thing. Elizabeth understood. She had found another human being who understood, who could be with her, who could comfort her, who could encourage her. I think that is a wonderful story, that God sent her not just an angel, but another human being that she could hang on to and be with. They stayed together for about 3 months before Mary came home. Must have been a wonderful time. But when she walked in that door and all that relief was released, it was at that moment that Mary sang off what we call the Magnificat. That joyous worship of the Lord God, that declaration of his power and his wonder and his grace and his love, and how blessed she was to be part of his plans. It does not surprise me that it wasn't until that point, because at that point, this experience was confirmed in the cold light of day, confirmed in her reality. And also, she knew God would continue to be with her as he had already sent her to Elizabeth. That human touch, And Luke tells us that Mary stored these things up in her heart, all these experiences, the birth, the shepherds, the visits to the temple, the visit to Elizabeth. She stored these things in her heart and she pondered them. I must say, from very early in my own Christian journey, my own faith journey, I have taken those words on board. I'm going to share with you just a couple of instances. The first one goes back 40 years. I'm an 18-year-old, hadn't had my license, you know, a year maybe. Okay, you have to picture this. I'm on the corner of Morfitt Road and Sturt Road. I have left Marion Shopping Centre and I'm on Morfitt Road about to go across Sturt Road. In those days, there was two lanes. The left lane went straight ahead, up the hill, up to Seacombe Road, which would take me home. The right lane, you could go straight ahead or you could turn right. I always go straight ahead. It's the easiest, quickest way for me to get home. So I'm at the front of the lights on the right-hand lane. And a voice says, turn right. Excuse me. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate. It wasn't audible, but what it actually was is a whole different sermon. But there was a clear impression, turn right. And I did actually recognise it was God. And I said, why? Okay, so I had a bit of a rebellious streak. Why? I always go this way. And he goes, turn right. I looked at the car next to me and obviously he was a bit anxious, wanting to get ahead. And as it is still now, those two lanes over Sturt Road converge into one. And I thought, ah, I know God. You think I'm going to challenge him. You think I'm going to drag him off, race him to get in front by the other side of Sturt Road. I'm getting mature. I'm growing up. You can trust me. I won't do that. Turn right. But God, you can trust me, really. And then the lights changed. True to my word. I started off slowly off from the lights. The car next to me, as I assumed, took off much quicker to get in front. At that moment, a little old lady in a white car came out from Sturt Road right in front of us. Didn't look, didn't see the traffic. He had to suddenly brake and he swung to miss her. I saw him about to hit me. I swung to miss him and I ended up facing oncoming traffic. Thankfully, there was no oncoming traffic. The little old lady stopped, turned left into the car park, oblivious to anything that had gone on. The other car took off up the road with attitude, understandably. The rest of the traffic stopped while I got back onto the right side of the road and took off. And my heart was thumping and I'm going, whoa, wow. If I had dragged him off at the lights, if I had tried to challenge him, I would have been next to him. He would have had nowhere to go. There would have been possibly a 3-car, maybe 4-car collision. And my second thought was, and he protected me. There was nothing coming the other way. And I thought, wow. And then I thought, and none of this would have happened if I had turned right. That story I stuck in my heart and in my memory, as you can tell, for years, with many lessons from it. Obedience, protection, don't argue with God. I still draw upon that in my heart. The second story is a little closer to now. It's about 3 months ago, October. Now, as many of you may know, I have been in SAPOL for 18 years. Last year was a difficult year. I realised I was getting to a point where I could no longer deal with members of the public. I was getting impatient. I was getting anxious. I needed to make a change, and I didn't know what. Ideally, I would have liked to have moved within SAPOL to another position that didn't mean I had to deal with people with problems all the time. I had other alternatives. I could take some leave. I could take leave without pay, or I could resign and do something else. All these things I stewed over for several months. And then one day a little thing triggered something and it came to a head and I ended up in the senior sergeant's office. And I said to him, have you got an answer for my latest request? to move. And he said, yes, no, you can't go. They're not moving anyone. They are too short-staffed, too stretched. No one is allowed to get moved. And I sat there for one beat, and then I went, well, I'm leaving then. That's it. I'm resigning. And the whole weight of those months just fell off my shoulders. I could feel a lightness and a peace immediately. The senior sergeant later said he could see it. He could see my whole demeanour change with that decision. And to be perfectly honest, he didn't try too hard to talk me out of it, because he could see that it was right. I had several weeks leave, so I took that leave. So there were several weeks between when I actually resigned and when I left, when I handed in my equipment, my badge, said my goodbyes and left. In those weeks, I did a lot of things that I'd been putting off, but also I got myself a resume together and I applied for about three jobs. One of them was a job that I'd seen on the public service website. Now, I'd looked at that a few times over the previous months just to see what was there, and there was one that kept banging out of the page at me. Two or three pages, and this one was the one that kept coming out. So I thought, okay. Closing date isn't for another 2 weeks, but took my time, put in my resume, put in the application, pushed the button, enter, send, midday. 3 o'clock, I got a phone call. Could you please come in for an interview? It was a Wednesday in October that I handed in and handed in my badge, said my goodbyes and walked out of Sturt Police Station for the last time, a very peculiar feeling. The next day, on the Thursday, I went for an interview, and 4 hours later, I was offered a job. I took the job because there is no way that I could deny that God had been in there. I remembered that feeling. I remembered the senior sergeant's words. I remembered that obvious thing about that job on the website. So I thought, well, he knows. Obviously, he knows. So I took the job. And now if I ever have any doubts, I go back and I remember those things. I don't have any doubts. It was absolutely the right thing to do. But I've stored that stuff away to remember, so that if I have a bad day, I know this is where I'm supposed to be. So I store things up in my heart and ponder them, just as Mary stored things up in her heart and pondered things. For Mary, there are two benefits. When Luke came a-calling 40 years after the birth of Jesus, Mary could tell him these stories because she had remembered them. She had stored them up. She had pondered them. And she could tell them to Luke, and Luke could write them down. And since then, over 20 centuries, billions of people have benefited from these stories, have been encouraged in their faith. But more importantly, Mary was able to hang on to these experiences when things got tough. Can you imagine what it was like for her standing on that hill as the sky darkens, the world seems like it's about to end, and there is her son, her beautiful, beloved son, that boy she gave birth to in the stable, the one she nurtured through childhood, the one who stood at the side of his father and learnt the trade, who grew into a wonderful man that she watched as he left and went into the world, did his ministry and made friends and made enemies, this beloved boy of hers. Now he was hanging there above her, dying, in great pain. He'd been tortured, humiliated. A sword had been put into his side. Nails through his wrists and his feet, struggling to push himself up to breathe because crucified men died of suffocation. And Mary would have been standing there unable to do a thing. She could not hold him and comfort him. She could not take away the pain. She couldn't make it stop. And her heart would have been breaking, and she would have been so distressed. I can't even imagine the pain that this mother was in watching this happen to her son. The heartbreak and the distress. Jesus did something wonderful, of course. He looked down at them in his great pain and he said, "Mother, here is my best friend. He's now your son. John, Mary's now your mother." He gave Mary once again a human, someone she could cry with and talk to and debrief whatever you want to say, someone, a human being, to be with her. But also she was comforted in another way. Those things she stored up in her heart, the visits by the angels, the words of the shepherds, and the words of Simeon. Those last words, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." God knew she was going to suffer this pain. God knew that Jesus was going to die like this. God was still in control. In all of her anxiety and pain, to know that God was still in control must have been some sort of comfort. In closing, I'd just like to share with you one of my favourite verses. Romans 12, verse 2. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We often hear people say, "How do I know what the will of God is for me?" This is the answer. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we be transformed by the renewing of our mind so we will know the will of God? Again, another sermon all on its own. One thing I do want to say is we need to be careful what we put in our mind. If we're watching violent films or pornography or listening to the negativity around us or surrounding us with negative things and people, that is not good for our mind. Doom scrolling is one of the unfortunate side effects of COVID. People constantly scrolling through their tablets looking for the latest bad news, the latest figures, the latest deaths. We need to fill our mind with the positive stuff, with the positive people. But one step to renewing our mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, is to cultivate the relationship, our relationship with God. Constantly cultivate it. Reading the Bible, praying, meeting together. Especially this meeting together in this day and age, we need to continue to do that. By phone, here when we can, in twos or threes when we can't. Encourage one another. Cultivate that relationship with God. Another step is to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that is really what I was talking about today. There are times when that Bible verse does just jump off the page and you think, wow, that's exactly what I need to hear. Or times when some comment by a friend sparks something within you, something deep. Maybe a random thought accompanied by that feeling in your gut. I don't know if you get that, but I do. I had it that day on Morfitt Road. I have it regularly, where some thought, and somewhere down here in my spirit, I believe it's my spirit communing with the Holy Spirit, but there's almost an ache. And I know that this is the voice of God. A random thought accompanied by the gut. Or maybe just your body's reaction to a simple decision. We need to learn how to hear and interpret correctly these things. And we do that by taking a chance and acting on it. If we get these moments, we need to act. And then we need to stand back and go, okay, how did that go? That experience. And then we store the whole bundle up in our hearts. Or maybe write it on a journal, as long as you go and read it again later. This stuff, this experience, these moments we draw upon and we learn to hear more clearly. So we learn to hear that voice of the Spirit and we can learn to better discern God's will in our lives, His good and His perfect will. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you are so incredible. So amazing. You give us roles to play in your kingdom which are especially designed for us. And then you don't walk away, you walk with us, giving us that is required as we go. Help us to be obedient. Help us to take a chance in faith. Help us to listen to those around us. That, Lord, we may be what you need us to be. In your kingdom, in this place, in the world. Strengthen us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to conclude with a short song. But make it your prayer as we move into the week that we will strengthen, become stronger within our faith and within God. May you be blessed as you go into this new week. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and the voice of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with you forever. Amen.